Hola, I'm Claudia Romo Edelman.
And I'm Cynthia Kleinbaum-Milner.
And this is a podcast, A la Latina.
The playbook to succeed being your authentic self.
Today, Sofia Colucci, Chief Marketing Officer at Molson Coors.
In this episode, you're going to learn three key takeaways.
Number one, the importance of identifying yourself as a Latina because it is an asset to your company.
Number two, we discussed the three R's formula for success: relationships, results, and resilience. She gave us very specific tips on how you can build each of them.
And number three, be pragmatic when making career decisions. Pick roles based not solely on your passions, but how they can set you up for success.
This and much more in this episode of
A la Latina.
This episode was brought to you by State Farm. Buying a house in 2024 can be something extremely joyful, but also extremely stressful when you think about all the paperwork that you have to file. But like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That's a phrase that will help you feel good knowing that you have people who care to help you file a claim or find the coverage for the things that you want to protect. After an accident, you may be worried, who do I call? What do you do next? I drive peacefully knowing that I have people who have my back. In reality, finding good insurance doesn't have to be something that is complicated to you. State Farm has options to fit your unique needs, which means you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, or reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Sarah Weldon, CEO of Trufinco, a finance company dedicated to helping both budding and established small businesses. I'm thrilled to be hosting Business Perfect Formula, a podcast designed to demystify business funding, real estate investing, and business credit. My goal is to simplify the complexities of alternative lending, showing you that navigating the financial landscape can be straightforward and stress-free.
Business Perfect Formula is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today, an incredible guest, Sofia Colucci.
Sofia is a chief marketing officer at Molson Coors. She's been recognized by campaigns US CMO 50, Crain's 40 Under 40, and Brand Innovator's Top 100 Women in Marketing. And her team's work has won multiple awards, including Effies, Cannes, and D&D.
It's such a great pleasure to have you here, Sofia. You're a trailblazer.
Oh, thank you.
What an honor.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Sofia, we want to start by asking you about our favorite subject today, you. What brought you to be who you are and what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here on La Latina because I'm lucky enough to be from a family from Uruguay. So raised in Uruguay and Canada. And then I've been in the U.S. for the last 11 years. And right now I am the chief marketing officer at Molson Coors. So get to do a lot of fun work.
And you lived in Uruguay and in Canada. Like, what was your upbringing like?
Yeah, absolutely. So my parents are from Uruguay, huge family there. So my dad's one of 13. So 40 first cousins on papa's side. And then mama's side is also from there too. Mm-hmm. And then, this Latinos come in all colors and shapes and sizes. So my family is, Colucci is my maiden name. And so came from Uruguay family, but mama and papa wanted their four kids to be raised in Canada. Because for them, even though they had a great life in Uruguay, I think they realized that they wanted to have more opportunities for their kids.
But mama and papa, Uruguayo, so yeah. Your upbringing, your culture, habits.
Yeah, very much Uruguay. And I think that's part of also being raised in Canada. Canada and in geography, you learn that the U.S. is more of a melting pot and Canada's a cultural mosaic, they like to say. And they really cherish and embrace the cultures that you come from. So when we were growing up, like we grew up Uruguayos. We spoke Spanish at home. You know, we ate dinner every night after 8 o'clock. We would have breakfast and listen to Uruguay folklore music. We would have to tell our parents, friends, when, you know, they were over at our house, do not hug and kiss people who come into the house because Canadians are not used to it. So very much a Uruguay household. And I'm happy about it because it's been hugely beneficial just having that Latin connection in my life today. But yeah, had a great upbringing. I think the thing too that I love about Canada, it's very middle class. So while my papa, like, well educated, they definitely had good jobs, they also wanted their kids to understand the value of hard work. So it was always be a good person. Mm-hmm. You're going to do well in school. And guess what? You're all going to have part-time jobs. So my first part-time job was working at a brake pad factory and just learning, you know, early on the value of that hard work, which, by the way, in Uruguay, there aren't those opportunities because it's just not the way the society works that way. So I think it was really important to have that upbringing in our family.
And you came from Canada to the U.S.?
Correct.
So I brought you here.
Yeah, I came 11 years ago. So I've been working now in marketing for 20 years exactly. So really three companies. First, a Canadian food company called Maple Leaf Foods. Very fitting, kind of. Yeah. So it fits the stereotype. Then I went to PepsiCo. So I spent 8 years there.
And that's what moved you to the U.S.?
That's what moved me to the U.S. Because so basically what happened was when I was in Maple Leaf Foods, which is packaged meats and bread, I was working on bacon. My then boyfriend, Jonathan, was working on hot dogs. So it was match made in packaged meat heaven. And he's American, actually. And so he always wanted to go back to the U.S. So then at that point, I thought, okay, well, if I want to get to the U.S., it probably makes more sense for me to go work at a more globally recognized company. And PepsiCo was that. And so I actually went to PepsiCo in Toronto. And then, you know, a few months in, I said to them, hey, at some point, I'd love to get to the U.S. And they kind of looked at me and they said, well, one, let's see if she's any good. Yeah. And then two, let's see if she stays with this guy. So both of those things, after a lot of hard work and then my long distance relationship with Jonathan, because he was doing his MBA in Boston, they worked out. And, you know, I have so much gratitude for PepsiCo because they actually transferred me over to Chicago. And then Jonathan and I met up when he graduated.
Let's talk a little bit about your experience in PepsiCo, because my understanding is that there's a lot of these global companies that can provide you with an opportunity to move from place to place, but it's not like, how systematized is it? Like, how did you raise your hand? How did you know what to do so they would actually allow you to move?
I think you have to be very open and upfront about what you want. So it's not like in these companies, there's these established formal programs. Like, a part of it is navigating the system and making sure that you work hard, you're delivering results, you know, you make it known that you want that opportunity. And then also when that opportunity happens, you got to take it. Yeah. You can't just, you know, say you want those things. You actually have to do it. So it is like a combination of taking advantage of those things that are possibilities, but also having that hustle mentality and actually pushing and driving, because those things that just don't come, you also need to create them for yourself.
And what were moments or people that helped you to learn how to navigate or push you through one navigation system to the other?
I think starting as a starting point, like when I look at how I am today in my career and what brought me here, it does start at home and it does start with my parents and specifically my mom. So my mom had four children, but she is an incredibly accomplished professional. So she's actually works in international development. And so my whole youth, like she would, you know, work in management consulting and go to all these countries to set up sustainability projects, Peru, China, Vietnam, everywhere. And I grew up then like seeing a role model of a woman who was very successful, at the same time didn't necessarily do it for the money, but did it because she really got a lot out of her work and then was able to balance having four children, which when I look back on it, I don't understand how she did it. But to me, I think as a starting point, there was never a question for me about what I could eventually become because I had that role model in my mother.
So they were your kind of board of directors when you were early in your career?
I would say my parents always said, you know, work hard and also be a little bit pragmatic. This is one thing, and I'm going to say something controversial, but this I got from my parents and I believe in deeply. Mm-hmm. I never pursued my passions. And I will tell you, because I know that that's something that people say to young graduates or people starting their career, pursue your passions. I think that is a dangerous counsel to give if taken the wrong way. I say pursue your passions, but be pragmatic about it. And if I think about the lessons from my parents as immigrants, that was something that was really important to them.
Yeah.
All of us, like, of course, it wasn't like, there was never any advice of go for any job and just make money. Never. But it was never go for something that you're so passionate about. No, it's do something that you find interesting, that you can have a career in, and then work really hard at it. And so that was, if I think back to the advice that my mom gave me from the get-go, that was it. And if I think back to even how I started my career in marketing. Plus, I was marketing bacon. There's nothing too sexy about it, but I worked very hard and I found it interesting. And that opportunity turned into something else and turned into something else. And then 20 years later, you know, our team just wrapped up filming a Super Bowl commercial. Never in my wildest dreams that I think I'd get here. Yes. But I think it's important to also set a level of pragmatism with young professionals to say, yes, you should pursue something that you're interested in, but also don't expect that you're going to be so passionate about it. The passion will probably come from the hard work and from the impact that you can make and the feeling of achievement. And I know it's a little bit different than the typical advice that's yeah. given, but it's something that I actually, for me, is very important.
I want to ask about the hot dog.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And how his role in this, because you and I were talking before, yeah. how much at some point when you had to, like, wonder about your Latinidad,
yeah.
He was instrumental. So tell the story yeah. about you as a Latina and then
Absolutely.
The impact of your husband.
Totally. And my husband's amazing. And he's always just a great kind of sounding board on things. So it was interesting. So I grew up in Canada and obviously to parents that were from Uruguay. And look, when we moved to Canada, like it was reversed. Like I spoke English with an accent now because I've been here for so long. I speak Spanish with an accent. Right. And mm-hmm. so over the years, like because Canada has so many diverse nationalities, there isn't the same kind of I guess like thing that happens here where you go into a company and you check what box you are. So suddenly when I got to the US and I remember my HR person said like, why didn't you check the Latina box? And I said to her, well, you know, I've never really felt that I was discriminated because I have blue eyes and I have pale skin and I mean, fake blonde hair, but yes, like blonde hair. And my dad, on the other hand, like he's very dark and he speaks English with a very thick accent. Mm-hmm. He's Latino, but am I really? And it was interesting because I talked about this with Jonathan, who did grow up in the US. And he said, Sophia, like, first of all, you are Latina. Like your family's from there. You speak Spanish. Culturally, you are. He goes, but more important, you are an asset to the organization because you're bringing a diverse point of view and you can actually relate and connect with those consumers. And especially that's important in marketing as a leader in an organization. And so all of a sudden it made me realize like it is a big asset for these organizations to have these diverse perspectives. And even though I might not look, you know, like what people would typically consider a Latino person to be, I am just as much. So it was a good conversation with Jonathan that we had.
Listen up, Latinas. In a world where your financial strength is your superpower, MoneyLion is the sidekick you didn't know you needed. With top-notch tools and wisdom at your fingertips, it's time to take control and navigate the money maze like a pro. Whether you're saving for that dream vacay or launching your next big venture, MoneyLion is here to back you up. Dive in at MoneyLion.com or download the MoneyLion app. Juntas podemos lograr todo.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mamis, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. Woohoo! Another sale!
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With Shopify Single Dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need wherever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/sonoro.
What do you think are the superpowers that come from that background that you bring to the table? Because you said you only have three companies, but you're the youngest mm-hmm. interviewer that we have had, like the youngest guest. So I think that you have a bright future and it's such an honor to have you as.
Oh, thank you. I mean, look, probably my biggest superpower is more that I have a lot more to learn, you know, and that's just been something that there is that learning mindset that you have. And I think it does come a little bit from being an immigrant. I think one of the things that I always reflect on is leaving Uruguay and coming to Canada when I was in third grade. And I talk about this with my sons after. And I remember being the immigrant kid and feeling left out. And then over the years, teachers would always ask me to welcome whatever new kid, because I think I had this like deep empathy for making people feel included. I think because I came from somewhere else. And that stuck with me. I'm a very sensitive person. And I think that definitely comes from being an immigrant and being a Latino. And I think as a leader, what I've tried to do with that is, you know, we were in a group a couple of weeks ago with very high-powered agency leaders, the marketing leadership team, the people who report into me. In those situations, what I really like to do is make sure that everyone has a voice and everyone physically and literally has a seat at the table. And I think that like over the years, I've realized like that kind of ability to be inclusive has been very helpful for me, because as a leader, I often don't have all the answers. Like I actually say, like I'm never the smartest person in the room, but what I try to do is really bring out knowledge and bring out ideas from other people and find a way to make things happen with them. And I think that that was being coming from Uruguay and having that kind of learning at an early age of being inclusive has definitely helped.
So you moved to Canada, you felt like you were an immigrant in Canada,
yeah.
And then you came to the US and you also felt like you're an immigrant.
Yes, I actually did. That's 100%, because when I came to PepsiCo, so I was a marketing manager in PepsiCo in Canada, and they transferred me to PepsiCo Chicago as a senior marketing manager. And all of a sudden, I had these people reporting to me who were Harvard MBAs, Kellogg MBAs. I had an undergrad from a school that no one had heard of. Mm-hmm. So I did. I felt, you know, like I felt, and I talk about it, and it could be twisted, but I'll say it. I had imposter syndrome, because all of a sudden, it was daunting to have these people reporting to you who come from all these like really accomplished like backgrounds. And so that was something for me to try to figure out how I could get out of my own head and figure out how I could add value and find my own strength and not let that make me feel insecure.
So how do you do it? Because in this conversation, you were so humble talking about how your superpower is actually being humble, growing, learning. Now you're talking about the imposter syndrome, but yet you are very young.
Here's what I would say. I think some of the things that have worked is going back to the superpowers that come from being Latina is I'm a very relationship-driven person. I'm a very social person. I love to connect with people. Like I'm not afraid to hug people. And like in companies like PepsiCo, like Molson Coors, I remember when I first got to PepsiCo, my head of HR, he said, there's two things that are going to make you successful at Pepsi, the two R's, relationships and results. So you need to be a person who can have strong relationships and then also be very results driven. And look, like while I definitely recognize I need to learn, I recognize the importance of bringing the best out of people throughout my whole career, like I have worked my butt off in terms of, you know, I don't know if I say I'm very driven, but I have always had this like push and this drive because I like to do things well, you know, and there was a certain level of like, you know, this like feeling of accomplishment of being able to get these things done. And then, you know, working in a field like marketing, where it is a lot about collaboration, relationships. When I was growing up, the things that I got involved in, yes, I was into sports, but you know what I was doing in high school? I was doing student council. Like I was doing those things that required like organization and leading other people. Like I'll never forget my mom driving me to a student council meeting and seeing an agenda. And she said, Sophia, like this is something that, you know, most people don't learn about until like much later in life. And you're 15 years old and you're learning how to do this. And all of those things have served me. So So I think like there is a certain element of, there was a natural kind of like desire to be in organization and leadership roles that certainly shaped me into who I am today.
I want to ask you about the marketing piece. Mm-hmm. I think that part of the goal or part of what I would love to see is when and how do companies and people like you start looking more at Latinos in front of camera, behind the camera, more like more.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, part of what we've been doing in the last number of years is we've actually, just like we have mandated, like within our own diversity recruiting and retaining efforts, like we want to have a certain number of people of color, obviously Latinos is one of them. Actually, part of it is the same with our agency partners too. We challenge them, and part of them working with us is to make sure that they have a certain percentage of leadership, people in leadership positions that come from diverse backgrounds. And that's really, really important. It can't just be like someone that we're not really interacting with. They have to be people in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I dream of that day, I have to say.
Yeah.
I dream of the day not only to see Mexican restaurants in every corner, but see Latino models and Latino actors and Latino, you know, like directors and more of that.
Oh. And it's like so important too, because if you go back to it, when agency partners are coming to us with creative ideas, if they don't have Latinos in their creative teams and their account teams, like, they're not going to bring relevant ideas, like, period. Yeah. And like, that's just it. And so actually, like, some of the best agency partners we've worked with are the ones that have strong leaders that are Latinos who understand and really push that way.
And how is your team structured? So you have a perspective from any diverse group when you approve marketing, when you approve any materials. I feel like if you don't have somebody that belongs and that has a good understanding of how it feels to see something from your point of view,
yeah,
you can just push out or like publish marketing campaigns like the Kylie Jenner, Pepsi, you know.
Oh, God.
So how do you make sure that you have representation too?
Yeah, so look, at a starting point, we try very hard within marketing that we have a diverse group of marketers, and we try to make sure that they're on different parts of the team. Also, we work with agency partners who help us too, and they have diversity. But on top of it, we have within Molson Coors almost like a council that we bring in diverse opinions.
We do the same, yeah.
Yeah, we bring in, and it's super powerful. We bring in diverse people from all across the organization that represent, you know, all different ethnicities, backgrounds, and something rural, you know, like different, like Latinos, yeah, Black consumers, LGBTQ+, and they really work as a sounding board for us to make sure that we're being really thoughtful and diverse about things. And so that's something that we've had it for a number of years, and I can tell you we're so happy we have it because it has definitely been a powerful asset for us.
Again, you are in an incredibly big company, mm-hmm, C-suite, and we'd love to talk about how being a Latina has been in your career. And again, you know, like, we understand that you didn't at the beginning, mm-hmm, you know, feel, can I claim this? Should I play it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
how much? And so on. But did you have to dial down at some point?
Because you could hide it well, probably, right? Because you didn't have an accent.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. 100% I could hide it well. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. Since I came to PepsiCo, like in the US, it was probably more of a question of, do I hide it or not? Yeah. Because in Canada, it wasn't as relevant.
It's expected that you're diverse.
Yeah, it's expected that you're diverse in Canada. It just is. Whereas it's different here, right? And I think I look at even Molson Coors and I look at the way it operates. Like, I don't know how familiar you are with the beer industry, but I remember even like when I was leaving PepsiCo, someone said to me like, hey, like a mentor of mine in HR, he goes, are you sure you want to go to the beer industry, because mm-hmm, there was a lot of stereotypes about it being kind of sexist, and mm-hmm, especially to women. And then if on top of it,
Latina,
to a Latina woman, like it could actually be a big disadvantage. And so I think like even when I came to Molson Coors, it was one of those decisions in terms of how much do you talk about it? And I think, you know, I realized go all in and be yourself and own it, you know? And I think even like as I navigated the distributor network, one of those things is like they're men who have been in the beer industry for a long time. And the cool thing that I've realized is they're businessmen who actually understand that the consumer demographics are changing so rapidly in the US. And so they're actually welcoming the idea of someone who can connect and better understand Latinos. And so it's actually been a big benefit and to own it rather than try to hide it. And then what I try to say to younger Latinas in the organization is don't run away from it, like own it, because it's actually an incredible power and resource that you bring.
And the own it looks like if you're like a hugger, you go and hug at occasions. Or what is owning it in a senior level?
Owning it in a senior level is like, for instance, like when you feel you're in the C-suite and there's discussions about, I'll even say it, like we were at a board meeting a couple of months ago, and I think we were getting challenged and pushed on some of the strategies we had, and they were specifically like in regard to Latinos. And I think that's when I could be like, well, actually, I do have some level of experience and understanding here, and not being afraid to, you know, give the rationale to why, because like owning the fact that you do have that background. So that's one piece of it. I think the second piece of owning it is owning the characteristics that come with maybe, like we talked about, like being more emotional, being a little bit more passionate, right? And another thing that I was thinking about too is maybe being a little bit more informal. And that's okay, because that's actually helping you build those relationships. And I think that like, it's interesting because it just so happens that in my world, those things are all really beneficial, but in other industries, it might be tougher. So I think that's also going back to picking the right industries that, you know, where some of these characteristics are actually going to help you out.
Let me ask you, if you could go back to your 30-year-old self and you could give yourself some advice, anything you would do differently, anything you would like to tell that Sofia Colucci? What were you, 30? You were in Canada working in sausages.
I had just come to PepsiCo. By the way, I started in sausages and then I went to bacon. So you got it right. I elevated myself up the packaged
so
meat world.
Is better.
Yeah, bacon's bigger than sausages.
Okay,
even
so
though,
there's levels. Yeah, in the packaged meat, there's levels, and sausage is at the bottom.
Well, actually, no, snack meats are at the bottom.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I'll never take that job, and I'll never eat a snack meat. I don't even know what that is.
No, actually, you know what? At 30, I had just gone to PepsiCo in Canada, and I think I was always extremely hard on myself. Like I still am, you know. And it's funny because being so hard on myself has led me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's probably a lot of pain that I could have avoided if I had just been kinder to myself. So this goes back to a little bit what we talked about. Tranquila. This is a little bit about not stopping the hustle, not stopping the push, but not letting it eat you up and figuring out a way to work hard, but know it's going to turn out right. And so I wish I could go back in time and tell myself that. I can't. And so now, look, I'm 43 years old. So I think, if anything, I've decided, what would my 55-year-old self tell me? You know, what could I tell myself? Or, by the way, what could I tell 30-year-olds? You know, and I think for me, the things I'm struggling with now, honestly, are probably like career-wise, yes. But honestly, it's navigating being a working parent and that guilt that comes, right? And I'm constantly, like, the thing that I worry about all the time is, are my kids happy? Are they doing okay? Why didn't they get invited to that play date? Are they going to be okay? And so, again, this goes back to, how do I tell myself, hey, guess what? In 10 years, 15 years, they're going to be okay.
Tranquila.
Tranquila.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask the Sofia, 55 years old, to, like, tell us, what would you have told the Sofia, 43 years old?
Should we book it in 17 years? No, 12 years.
I mean,
can't add.
I think the number one thing that I probably would have told myself is enjoy the ride. Enjoy this moment. Because what you have right now is incredible. So, and that's something that this year I'm trying to do, you know, like even...
It like give me...
But enjoy. Because like how incredible this opportunity I have to work with the people I get to work with, to the type of work I get, like to even sit here and, you know,
to be the poster child,
like,
millions of Latinas.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's just like, it is like, I have to pinch myself. I don't think, you know, if I told 30-year-old Sofia that I would one day be in New York, you know, talking to the two of you, like beyond my wildest dreams. Right. So I think it's a little bit of actually like enjoying it and saying like, how amazing is this? And then giving back and saying, how can I then help other people, inspire other people, help coach them, help navigate them? And so it starts with the people in our marketing team. It starts with then the people in Molson Coors. And then honestly, a lot of other young Latinas who, if I can help, I'm happy to.
Sofia Colucci, what an incredible pleasure having you today.
Thank you for giving us so many tips, actionable advice. It was great.
And you inspired us to lead
a la Latina.
Hola, a la Latina listeners. Meet your financial partner in crime, MoneyLion. Elevate your money game with top-notch tools, expert advice, and a community that gets it. Dive in at MoneyLion.com or download the MoneyLion app now. A la Latina is brought to you by MoneyLion and produced by Melka Media.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I'm a small business owner, and I believe that this is a great tool for other small business owners. In small businesses, you need to create a team, and if you're starting by yourself, Constant Contact can be the team that you need. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by the 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Sarah Weldon, CEO of Trufinco, a finance company dedicated to helping both budding and established small businesses. I'm thrilled to be hosting Business Perfect Formula, a podcast designed to demystify business funding, real estate investing, and business credit. My goal is to simplify the complexities of alternative lending, showing you that navigating the financial landscape can be straightforward and stress-free. Business Perfect Formula is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.